Well, thank you for being here. It was just amazing. We had a wonderful time this morning in the parking area. The difference between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, what was happening outside was just phenomenal. Moving from a storm into open sunshine. And, you know, God can just turn things around quickly in your life this morning, too. And I have a message the Lord's laid on my heart. Some messages are interpreted as much more encouraging than other kinds of messages. This is one of those other kind. But I believe it will be encouraged. There's different kinds of encouragement, right? But I know the Lord's laid this message on my heart. I got a phone call the other day from someone that doesn't live in this area, so it's nothing to do with here. But they started sharing of how God had moved in a member of the family, a rather large family. And they, numbers of this family had had a falling out for the past several years. I mean, for a number of years. Some of them, particularly one of the brothers, had not spoken to the other family members, to several people who were family members, for a number of years. But now that person has come to know the Lord. They've gotten involved in a fellowship in a church, and they recently have gone to family members, loving them, reconciling with them. That's the kind of stuff that Jesus does. Amen. And I'm going to be sharing a message that I'm entitling "A Powerful Key to Living Free." Now, there could be several things on this list, but this is one of those keys that need to be close to the top. I've just seen it work so often. I've seen it just shift things so quickly when it happens. And I want to ask you to do something this morning as your pastor, as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you this, not just for me, but on the authority of the Word of God. I want to ask you, as believers in Jesus Christ, as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to do this. I'm asking you this morning to forgive anyone who has wronged you in any way. Forgiveness is a powerful key to living free. Now, this type of message is going to come around every so often. And this week, the Lord just really confronted me with this. And I believe there's a number of reasons. Main reasons is totally because he's just doing it. But this is Good Friday's coming up. And it's a good one. Because we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, where we celebrate his resurrection. And when we gather, and as churches in our area gather, week by week, all of us realize that to see someone walk down the altar and find God's forgiveness in their life, hooray, hallelujah, amen. We're all in on that, right? I mean, that's such a part of what we're wanting to see happen. But yet, while that's happening, often, even among ourselves, there can be offenses and unforgiveness that we're not dealing with. And I'm not saying that's necessarily true here, but I will say this, across Lauderdale County, you pick the county, any state in this nation, go to another nation, pick any region you want to, this will be a problem. There are homes, there are marriages, there are churches, there are workplaces, there are school classrooms where things are a mess, it's chaos, and there's offense, there's grudges, there's unforgiveness. I felt the Lord spoke this to me just in the last couple of days. If we will live in forgiveness, and if we will relate to all other people with forgiveness, we will see the revival for which we prayed. I believe one of the holdbacks in the body of Christ is unforgiveness in our hearts. Now, I want to tell you something. Like you would see frisbees flying at a frisbee golf tournament, the enemy is going to give you plenty of opportunities to be offended, to harbor unforgiveness, to hang on to a grudge. It's just part and parcel of life. Christian, non-Christian, same. We learn, though, as Christians, we have this key. It's called forgiveness. And when we use it, we will begin to see levels of freedom we have never seen before in our own lives, in our families, and in the places where we work and live out our lives. It's just true. It is a powerful key to living free. The snake entered the garden with the intent to create division between the first man and woman. Mission accomplished. To create division between the first man and woman and God. Mission accomplished. Been at it ever since. So, I'm just right up front, I'm asking you, if you have unforgiveness toward anyone, the best thing you could ever do with that situation is to choose to forgive. It'll spare you a lot of misery. And you might be surprised how God might just use it as TNT to blow things open into a dimension of freedom you didn't even dream was possible. So, Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. There's an atmosphere. Should be the atmosphere of a Christian marriage. Should be an atmosphere of the Christian home. It should be the atmosphere of the Christian church. Where Christians are moving, working, and together, there should be kindness. There should be compassion. That's consideration from others. And there should be a propensity to forgive should the occasion arise where it's needed. And it will. In Colossians, Paul wrote in Colossians 3 verse 13, bearing with one another, redneck interpretation, putting up with folks, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint. That probably never happened, but if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you all also must do. We'll come back to that in a moment. But these two scriptures give us a peephole into the atmosphere of the early church, what the apostle was calling for. Kindness, consideration, if you've got a complaint, just forgive. It's amazing how many problems in our lives are avoided if we will only forgive. But we, being the human beings that we can be, often will become stubborn and unreasonable and inconsiderate. Those are what you begin to see in a person's life who is bound by unforgiveness. It creates distance. That's the purpose the enemy wants to do. Create division. To divide. God sent his son Jesus into the world to reconcile the world to himself. The antithesis to that is to scatter. To separate. The wolf wants to scatter the flock. Smite the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. That's an old ancient truth known in Bedouin cultures, that the sheep will scatter. And so that's the business of the enemy. And I'm just saying, we do not want to cast our lot into the plans of Satan for our lives. We do so when we agree with him to harbor unforgiveness and to refuse to forgive. Easy to preach, as a lot of things are, but sometimes difficult to put in practice. We are living in another reason I believe the Lord's laid this message on my heart. It's very apparent. We're living in a time in our culture where we are seeing an increase of the persecution of Christians. Our values are opposed to the values of this world. The direction in which we want to live our lives is a different direction to which the world is living their lives. We should not be surprised. The Bible says all those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That means somebody will want to make you pay for serving Jesus Christ. Somebody is going to come against you because you won't believe what they want you to believe. But if you're going to bow your knees to Jesus Christ as Lord and try to represent him to the world and live the Christian life, you and I, we better become very good forgivers. Because I'm telling you, we're going to see an increase of opportunities to become offended in this culture in which we're living. But what they need to see is they need to see Jesus in your life, in my life. What they need to know is that we have found a source that enables us to release praise when we're under pressure, that enables us to forgive when we're offended, that enables us to love back when we're hated. You see, that's the life you signed up for when you said, "Yes, Lord," and gave your life to him. And forgiveness, I ran across this definition that I want to read to you about forgiveness. Psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. And I would add biblically to that, and regardless of whether or not they ever seek your forgiveness or not. Why should we forgive? First reason, I've already read it. We are commanded to forgive. Paul said, if anyone has a complaint against another, he's speaking in the church context here, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. In other words, because God in Christ has forgiven you, this is a non-option for the believer. We have to forgive. He said, you also must do. It gets more serious when you read what Jesus teaches. When he taught us how to pray, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, there is a correlation between our willingness to forgive and our willingness to be able to live in the forgiveness that God gives. Jesus follows the Lord's prayers by saying, For if you forgive, your sins will be forgiven. But if you do not forgive, neither will your sins be forgiven. There's a correlation with there. That could probably be another series on another time. All I'm saying today is, you and I, when it comes to forgiveness, we may have a choice, but there's only one right choice, and it's to forgive. We must forgive. And the sooner we can forgive, the more quickly we can forgive, the sooner we're going to be blessed. In the middle of his pain, hanging on a cross in front of many people who hated him, were laughing because he was being tortured and crucified, mocking him, Jesus looks out on the very people who were having a party about his execution and says, Father, forgive them. Isn't that something? In the middle of his pain, he expressed forgiveness. And we have been called to follow suit. I believe forgiveness is one of those areas where we can enter, as it were, into the sufferings of Christ. It's where we also, when we suffer, can exhibit the same spirit he did as he suffered. When we say, Father, forgive them. Isn't it something? The accusers stood mocking the one who became the intercessor for them. Oh God, we can't do that in and of ourselves. And that's the point. Even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you, so also you must do. It takes supernatural help. It takes knowing God's heart. It takes faith. So we must forgive because we are commanded to. You've heard of the Red Cross, founded by Clara Barton. And Clara Barton had been deeply wronged early on in this work. And several years later, one of her colleagues came to her and said, "Do you remember what this person did to you? How deeply you were wronged?" And Clara Barton looked at this colleague quickly and said, "You know, I distinctly remember forgetting it." The enemy will try to draw us back into old wounds from long ago wars. He will visit us in our low places and try to stir up once again the conflicts that we have worked through and we prayed through and we've warred through, hoping to get us to return to that bitter pool of poison and drink once again the poison of bitterness and unforgiveness. He wants to be the taskmaster as Egypt was over ancient Israel, and get us to bear the burden of long-held grudges and endure the pain of rehearsing and nursing the wounds of yesterday. But you and I, friend, we must be quick to forgive because we want to obey our Lord. Sometimes the decision to forgive comes with an, "Oh God, help me do this. I forgive." But we must forgive. Another reason that we need to forgive is this: that forgiveness means that we live in freedom. We live in freedom when we choose to forgive. Which also states that until we forgive, we are bound. And as believers, we are charged with sharing a gospel of freedom while being bound ourselves when we refuse to forgive. We're a contradiction in terms when we harbor unforgiveness. Our message is weakened to this lost and dying world when we hate instead of loving. When we refuse to forgive. But we experience freedom when we forgive. I want to tell you, the enemy wants us to be bound with this bitterness, under the grip of that grudge. I'm reminded of the story of the little 12-year-old boy out on the farm throwing rocks, and he threw a rock at one of the family's geese and killed it. He thought, "We have 24 geese. Dad and Mom will never know." He hoped to keep it a secret. But then his sister comes to him and says, "I saw what you did. And I'm going to tell Mama, unless you wash the dishes for me." And so the little guy, out of fear of retribution from his parents, became the dishwasher. And for days, he washed the dishes rather than risk being exposed. One day, he walks into the kitchen, looks at his sister and says, "You're washing dishes today." She says, "I'll tell Mama." He said, "You know what? I went already, and I told Mama, and Mama forgave me. I'm free again." That's what forgiving will do. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. No one knows the depths to which we can go as we know concerning ourselves. The secret things, the faults, the mistakes. And the enemy will come and try to torment you and visit you and stir you up by way of remembering. We know the Holy Spirit does that. Well, the thief wants to hijack that and do it too, but in a different way. To stir you up by to remember your sins. To torment you. To punish you. And I want to say to you this morning, if that's you, forgive yourself. Realize that God is a good forgiver. Know that the scripture teaches Jesus, our Savior, He's a good forgiver. And when He forgives, He really does. And the enemy wants to dredge that stuff back up. You need to know you're free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You really are free. Don't allow the enemy to drag you back into what was. You live in what is. You live in who you now know yourself to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Choosing to forgive means you can live in freedom. And yet others, maybe you are guilty of punishing someone by refusing to forgive them. They've done you wrong. They may have sought your forgiveness. And your way of punishing them is to refuse to forgive. To refuse to let them go. Forgive them. Forgive. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. When we choose to be vindictive through unforgiveness, when we choose to try to make other people pay by not forgiving, we're kind of like trying to bump God over and take over his place. We must not do that. We must choose to forgive. I read of an older lady who lived a godly life, and somebody asked her, well, what do you do? Because they knew something of her past life. And they said, what do you do when the enemy comes up and he reminds you of what you did? She says, I tell him to go east. They say, well, what if he still comes back? She says, I tell him to go west. But what if he comes back again? Well, I tell him to go back east. She said, I just keep telling him to go east and west because the scripture says he's taken my sins and cast them far from me as far as the east is from the west. Don't be punished by your past, and don't punish someone else for their past. Forgive. The church ought to be the one place on planet Earth where someone who's lived a horrible life, who's done everything wrong they knew they could do wrong. The church should be the one place where they can walk into the middle of what's going on and find a place where they can be forgiven. Believers are charged. Scripturally it says, whoever sins, you remit will be remitted. In other words, we have a message to say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you think of anything more powerful to a sinner to hear the words, you are forgiven? You are forgiven? And yet knowing that, to then turn and say to someone else, I refuse to forgive you. When we choose to forgive, we overcome hate. There's a lot of hate and a lot of hostility in the world. Social media has allowed that to be like a fertilizer spreader on the back of one of those big tractors. That's like social media in the devil's hands, just to disseminate hatred and hostility. But forgiveness allows us to overcome hate. The power of hate. Never date hate. You'll end up married to unforgiveness. And that's a bitter relationship. You overcome hate through the power of forgiveness. It seems that some people have chosen to live in hate. Around such a person, you can almost hear the simmer and boiling like water on a stove eye, the simmering and boiling of resentments, offenses, judgments, condemnation. Forgiveness brings the power of God's love against the bulwark of the world's hate and brings breakthrough for you. The enemy wants to work in our lives to build a dam around our heart so our heart becomes hard. And keep out the life-giving waters of forgiveness and cleansing from entering. The enemy will deceive you because you trusted and you were hurt. And now you have vowed, I will never be hurt like this again. So therefore I will never trust again. And you think you're protecting yourself. But really, you've just chosen to live in misery. Hear me. Forgiveness will break the power of hate and mistrust. Now, forgiving someone doesn't necessarily mean you reconcile with them. Forgiveness is the forerunner for healing, restoration, and reconciliation. But you can forgive someone without being reconciled. Reconciliation takes two parties' willingness. That's not always possible, but you don't have to live with the misery of being unreconciled. If you choose to forgive, then you and God are clear. Heard about the little guy, little boy on a park bench, and an older man was walking by, and he saw the little guy was kind of scowling and had a little tear forming in his eye, and he said, little fellow, what's the matter? And the little guy said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. And the man said, well, son, get up off the thing. He said, nope. I think I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me. That's the way some people are. I may be hurting, but I'm going to hurt them worse. It's like drinking poison and wanting the other guy to die, right? Forgive. I'm pleading with you. I don't even know who I may or may not be talking to this morning. Please forgive. Forgive. Let God's grace visit you and help you to let go of those grudges and those offenses. I'm trying to save you some time because if you don't forgive, that unforgiveness is going to define you, who you are. You need forgiveness in order to experience victory over your past. How many of you have heard of Corrie ten Boom? She was a Dutch one woman along with her family in Holland during World War II. And she and her family would take in Jewish people and hide them from the Nazis to protect them. And then they were caught and they were sent to the concentration camps. I think she witnessed the death of several family members. She may survive the concentration camps. And as a believer in Jesus, she's gone around the world. She's now with the Lord, but she went around the world preaching and sharing what Jesus had done for her and who he was to her. A few years after the war had ended, she was ministering in a place and she was sharing her testimony and of God's faithfulness in the concentration camp at Ravensbrück. In that meeting was one of the guards who had worked in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Before the service is over, she recognized him on the back wall and she felt it come all over her, anew and afresh. The memories of what he and others like him had done and exacted upon the people. Afterwards, the man made his way up to Corrie ten Boom and he reached out his hand. He did not recognize her. She thought, well, how could he know me among the hundreds that were there? But he told her, he said, ma'am, I really enjoyed your message. I was a guard at Ravensbrück. And I'm tormented by the memories of what we did. Would you forgive me? Corrie ten Boom said, I couldn't lift my hand. She had just preached about all this. And there it was, staring her in the face, trying to revive itself within her. Some of you know a feeling similar to that. You've gone through real hard things in life, maybe a terrible divorce, something really painful in your childhood years, or some mistreatment that we may be unaware of, but you know what it's like to try to be escorted back to those events and what it does inside of you. And she was feeling all of that. And this conflict was going on within her. She couldn't move her hand, but yet she knew what she had to do. She knew what the scripture said. And she said, she decided she, by faith, she stretched out her hand. And when their hands met, you can read about this in her writings. When their hands met, she said, it was like an electrical current began to move through my body. And I felt it in my whole being. She said, I have never experienced such intense love as I did in that moment. Maybe she touched the hem of the garment of what Jesus was bearing on the cross that enabled him in the middle of his pain to say, Father, forgive them. That's what we are called to. I am not saying it is easy. I am simply saying it is necessary. I am saying it's non-optional if we would live life as a believer as we are called to. But you can have experience, you can experience the victory over your past, often through forgiveness, because the enemy wants you to live the rest of your days as a victim. He wants you to define your life based on what he brought against you, what somebody else did to you. He wants them, that event, that situation, that person to mark your memory so that everything is governed by that day, that hour when that happened. But dear friend, we gain the upper hand when we look toward the cross and we draw from the grace that we find there in Jesus that enables us to overcome the pain, to overcome the heartache, to overcome the memories, to overcome the emotions, and by faith, oh, with God's grace, with God's help, to take that step and to feel the liberating power of his love setting you free from the bondage, the trap that Satan had set for you. We must forgive. Not only do we have victory over our past when we forgive, but we change our future when we forgive. It changes you. I've seen it happen. I've seen it in altars. Oh, I've seen people come up, begin repenting, giving their life to the Lord, and hearing cries and sobs in the audience because that grandmama, that aunt, that daddy, that mama had been praying for months and years for that moment to happen. And in a moment of divine forgiveness received into a sinful heart, a life is changed. A family is reconciled. Things are different at home. Things are different from now on. The future is changed. Forgiveness has the power, the transformative power, to shape our tomorrows for us and make them more beautiful than we could imagine. You don't have to drag that around. You don't have to live with that torment. You don't have to bear that burden. Jesus bore it on the cross already. It's taken care of. Whatever the enemy did, the power of the cross can restore and use what Satan did as ammo against Satan. It's a choice. It's a step of faith. It's a moment of letting go. And it's a step toward a better tomorrow when you choose to forgive. Now, I've had this conversation with many folks through the years, and I've heard this response more than a few times. Preacher, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. But the one who wrote the book and the one who knows what's best for you knows all about it. And he says, you got to let it go. You just got to let it go. When you let it go, then that means the Lord's going to take care of it. Sometimes when we take our hands off these kind of things, then we see God's hands begin to move on them. Forgive. Hebrews 8:12 says, this is from the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Isn't it wonderful to know that God won't ever bring up your sins to you again? So when that's happening, it's not God. Proverbs 17:9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we'll all gather here and celebrate the resurrection. But this Sunday, I'm challenging you. Do not choose to live in the graveyard of wrongs that have been committed against you. There's a better life the Lord has for you. He has better plans for you than that. Better plans than sleepless nights, ulcerated stomachs. I had a dear man came to me after the early service who got a healing. He said in the message, God took him back to his childhood, his elementary school days. He was made fun of in his classroom by one young man in particular, but others. And he said there was this place he would go into school and he would hit the wall with his hands until they were just like numb. And he says through the years he's had so many problems in his hands. He had never really put the two together. But this morning it came to him. And he said there was forgiveness. And he said, I haven't been able to do this in years and years and years. There's a correlation between every aspect of your being, your body, your health, your soul, your happiness, your spirit, your holiness. There's a correlation between your decisions about forgiving or not forgiving and having the benefits of blessings in those areas. I truly believe I know of people who have prematurely died because they refused to forgive someone. Now, I know right now may not be party time, but I believe I've shared something with every one of us today that'll bless us and help us. And let me tell you when you're going to need it. Probably when it's the last thing you want to hear. Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you, so also you must do. Our worship team is coming. And my prayer this morning, that no one goes home with unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone. And we may already be at that place in the room. Amen. But don't forget what I've shared today, because we're going to need it in the day in which we're living. And don't forget that when the pressure was on and the pain was real, Jesus chose to forgive. And the story of it's been shared ever since it happened. And millions of lives have been changed because he's chosen to be a good forgiver. Father God, I pray your Holy Spirit right now would visit each and every one of us. Lord, as the psalmist says, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, as far as I know, there's no one on this earth I harbor unforgiveness toward. If it's something I've tucked away, if stuffed away, or if I've been dull of hearing and just not letting you talk to me about it, Lord, show it to me. I want to be safe in this area. I want to be pure, Lord, concerning this issue. And I pray that, Lord, for all these sweet people. And Lord, I pray for those that have been hurt and those who have been wronged and those who have been mistreated. I certainly would never minimize the pain that they have had to go through and endure, the things they've had to put up with, the words they've heard spoken to them, the behaviors that have been demonstrated toward them. Lord, I know obviously in a group this size, there's people here that's been very badly abused and visited upon with things that others here could not imagine. So Lord, I know it has to be hard to take that step. But it's harder to live without the healing. I know it has to be difficult to let it go. But Lord, I know it's more difficult to hang on to it. And I just ask that your healing oil would be poured out, and that grace, as these steps of faith are being taken even now, Lord, that grace would meet faith and birth the miracles of forgiveness. Even if the person you need to forgive is dead and gone, you can still forgive. You may think, I'll never see this person again. You can still forgive. Would you stand with me in this holy moment? Holy Spirit, have your way in my heart. Have your way in our hearts. We declare this is a moment of freedom for us. We declare we are a people of faith. We have heard the word of the Lord. And I believe we are saying, yes, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be the person holding back what our families need, what our marriages need, what our church needs, what our community needs. Search us, O Lord. Cleanse us, O Lord. Just let there be a yes in your heart right now, and act on it. Forgive. Preacher, do I need to talk to the other person? Just start where you are right now. You just forgive. Let it go. And then do the next thing the Lord tells you to do. He'll let you know what you need to do. Lord, we believe this is a moment of healing right now. A moment of restoration. This altar is open. If there may be those that want to just come and kneel and pray, certainly feel the liberty to do that. We'll be here to pray with you as well. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. Anyone that needs prayer, be happy to pray with you. I know there's others here as well. We'll be happy to pray with you. Perhaps you're here and you've never received God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved today. You can know the forgiveness that Jesus already extends to you. You can receive the benefit. You can step into it. You can enter into it. You can be saved. Born again, the Bible calls it. All things will become new. The peace of God will come into your heart. Those burdens will be rolled away. Doesn't mean all your troubles will be over. It just means you'll never be alone, and you'll have God's grace to enable you to do what you couldn't do before. Say yes to Jesus. Yes and Jesus go together so beautifully. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just get in agreement with God's word this morning.